Good morning. I'm glad to be with you all today, especially on the Easter Sunday. Yeah. Oh, you remember that, huh? What day is the day? I hope you didn't say that, but you just said it. But anyway, even though sometimes, you know, from the world's perspective, some people call us fool. But 1 Corinthians 1:17-18, that says that it is the power of God on the cross, even when the world viewed us as fool. So hopefully, you don't view us as a fool from perspective of God. So, but anyway, today is the Easter Sunday, and we are here to celebrate His risen from death. Let's read the scripture first. All right. So maybe we can have our brothers read the odd number verses, and sisters the even number. Let's go. On the first day of the week, very morning, in the morning, the women took this one. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of the sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then, when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. The word is true, and the tomb is empty. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, died for us, was buried, and rose again the third day. And we are here to experience the power of His rising again, His resurrection from death. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, in the old ages, people would celebrate it very loudly when they would say, Jesus Christ is risen, and they would expect some response from the congregation. So let's maybe we can take that tradition today. Jesus Christ is risen. Is risen indeed. Well, really? Indeed? Some people would say, I don't know what the old ages people would say, but nowadays people will ask these questions. Really, did Jesus Christ rise again? Did He rise indeed? Well, how do I know? If that's true, if that's real, how do I know? That's the next question. How can I know He is risen? And, well, by God's grace and by some method, somehow, I assume you know that. Okay, you know and you believe that, and then now what? What do we do from there? So those are the questions that we would ask ourselves today. Well, how do I know anything, let alone Jesus rising from the dead? How do I know the church is located in 2367 Clubman Road? What is the Clubman Road? Okay, how do I know this chair is made by somebody? This chair can hold you without any danger. How do I know that? How do I know anything? You need to have some methods, right? So this is how people wanted to know something. Okay, take this as an example. How did he want to know? Okay, let's read this together. Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. According to whom? Thomas, okay? That's not me. The other Thomas, okay? Even though I was nicknamed Doubting Thomas, but it wasn't me. I wasn't born at that time. But he said it. He said it. Okay. How did he want to know? How did he want to believe? He would not believe unless he had some sense. He had some sight. He had some touching. Okay. So this is how he wanted to know. This is how he wanted to believe. And that's majority of the people would like to know. I would say 99% of the people wanted to know by this way. Okay, they want to touch, they want to see, they want to hear, they want to sense, they want to taste, they want to smell. And then they will believe. I mean, this has been a common sense. This is why we want to use that word, common sense, right? And there's another example. So, let's read it together. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Who said that? Jesus told him. Thomas, right? So, well, Jesus had another idea. You didn't have to use your five senses. You didn't have to do that way. You could believe without seeing. That's quite contrary to what the common sense has told us, right? Well, let's look at this. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? And whom was Jesus speaking to? Who's that? That was a question. It's not a rhetorical question. I expect a response. Who's that? Yeah, one of the disciples, for sure. That was a good answer. Specifically, who was that? No, it's chapter 11. Well, what happened in chapter 11? Some people usually remember the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept, right? Why did he weep? So this was to Martha. So Lazarus' sister, okay? Okay, notice the order. Notice the order here. See, put, which means, okay, sight, touching, so two of those five senses, right? And then believe. That's the common order. But notice Jesus' order. Without seeing, yet believe. Well, you believe, and then you will see. What's the problem? We have a huge problem with God. We don't use God's order. That's the problem. Okay. But how can I use God's order? Beyond those five senses, what did God want us to use the order? Believe. Feel. Some people call this the sixth sense. Beyond those five senses. Prove. You want proof? Or something like this. Those are the common methods beyond those five senses, right? But are they right? That's another question. Okay. So, I'll just give you some quizzes to do. And see if you can get some senses here. Let's prove the following. Okay, Mr. Su, or Pastor Quimmy, weighs about 650 newtons. Well, some people don't even know what Newton is. It's, never mind. Okay, you will get the next question, and you can answer that, okay? So for those people who can, how can you prove that? A scale. Well, a scale only tells you the mass, not the force. The mass is measured like kilograms or pounds or what that. Will only give you the mass. Given, the mass is already given. Okay, it's 65 kilograms. I mean, that was the old data. I don't know how much it's about. Well, the second one, if you don't know Newton, it's okay. Take the second question. Mr. Su, past Quimmy will die. Okay, how can you prove that? Everyone dies. Well, is that true? What about the Enoch and Elijah? Really? What about those two E's? All right. And of course, then both names start with E. I don't know why, but Enoch and Elijah. But anyway, they did not die. Statistically speaking, maybe 99.9% of people will die, and the Pastor Kwame will die. Well, it seems like a good proof, right? But I will prove you wrong later. I prove you wrong not by living forever, but proving wrong your method is wrong. Okay. Well, Pastor Kwame studied to be interim pastor of CCCC the year of 2014. Is this easier to prove? Okay, you think it's easier. All right, how do you prove that? Mr. and Mrs. Su are accessed Irene and all of his parents. Really? Okay, we'll get to that. All right. So this is a common proven method. Method is here. Okay, given, found, and just one formula. Multiply of mass and the gravitational acceleration. That's it. Okay? If you how to do the multiply, then you got this correctly. QED. Finished. Okay. Major premise. All humans are mortal and all die. Minor premise. Pastor Kwame is a human. Conclusion. How that? Is this why you celebrate? Well, for the pastoring, okay, are you going to give me a contract? Let me show you the contract, and you see that's the fact. Is that the way we go? Okay, maybe. And for that, maybe the relationship you want to prove? Maybe the picture we look alike? Well, you know, all babies look alike. And even sometimes Dr. Bill Jones went to China, and he saw a book of his wife. And he opened that book, and he didn't see the picture of his wife. It was someone else's picture. And he went to the bookstore owner and said, I'm pretty sure this book was written by my wife, but this picture is not my wife. I only have one wife. But the owner said to him, who cares? All Americans look alike to us. But anyway, the picture. And by the way, the pictures can be photoshopped, right? Look at this. Do you think this picture is real? Yes. Really? Okay, he has superpower? You know, okay, but I believe this is probably the Photoshop or whatever. So, that's not a good. And then it comes to Lily who had another idea. We don't do picture. We do DNA, right? And that's your idea, okay? You think this is right? Well, what if we got some false testimony from a technician and paperwork workers. Well, and let alone other many uncertainties that we don't want to have during our proving. Okay. Now, let's go back and review. Look back at our report card. This is what you do at school. Okay, report card. All right, the first question I will give you, if you did that, I'll probably give you 100. That's pretty decent. Okay. As a fact, there's a given, and you found this, and you have a formula, here you go. You prove it. But the second one, I don't think you get it right. Because statistically, Elijah and Enoch, they did not die. Unless the life giver, the God who gives life and who takes away life, said something in Hebrews 9:27. He says that every people will die and will be judged. According to the authority, it is right. But number three, the contract, like I said, the contract is just a piece of paper. Okay, for any purpose, if we have a wrong motive, it's very easy to get a paper and get, I mean, it's just a piece of paper. How reliable is that? We don't know. And for that, the pictures, like I said, pictures and DNAs and that, it's all many, many uncertainties you cannot prove. Well, why the method of proving fails? Because the proof is from proof below to trying to achieve something higher than you. But this is the method that God gives us. He does not want us to prove anything because He's much higher. If you want to prove Him to exist or not to exist, there's no way. He's too high for us. There's no way for you to prove He is existing or He is not existing. Either way, He wants us to perceive. When He has revealed Himself, He has told us something, and He wants us to use those common senses to discern, to see if this is reliable and perceivable. This is kind of like something from above to us. This revelation comes from above, from the heaven to earth, and we have the God-given senses, God-given reasons to see if this is reliable. Well, it comes down to really two questions, two characteristics, a competence and a character. So whoever reviews you, whoever you interview with, if that person or if that group, if that organization has competence, correct me if I said it wrong, I don't know how to do that, competence and a character. Competence, that means he's able to do that. He knows what he's doing. He is the first-hand witnesses. A character means he's trustworthy. He's not going to lie to you. And even when difficulty arises, he stands firm. So let's go back to that. What if Sir Isaac Newton tells you something? Anyway, he was the person that the unit is named after. Well, whoever names that name, given the international unit for the force, a Newton. What if the one who gives life, what if the CCCC chairperson tells you that we interviewed the Pastor Quimi and we decided to include him as an interim pastor since 2014. And you know him, and you know he's reliable. And then it's more believable than the piece of paper. Well, what if Mr. and Mrs. Sue tell you, we are AEIO's parents. We were there when they were born. We knew. We were the first-hand witnesses. Well, you would say, what if some other people come to them and say, I'm your mom and I'm your dad. Well, fortunately, we don't have a second or third person who said that in our life. But even if that person arose, I think it's very easy to disprove them wrong. Why? Because Jane and I have developed those loving relationships with them. And from every minute, every second of interaction, they knew for sure we are their parents. And they know we are not just randomly get somebody from the hospital and pretend that we are the foster parents or adopting parents. I don't know the word. But anyway, we are not that type. And they know that. Because we are the person who have competence and have character so that they can believe. So God exists in it, and He is our Heavenly Father. What if He says that? What if the Bible says Jesus died, was buried, and rose again? What if the Bible says something else? I mean, that's the way you want yourself to believe. It's not like proving from above to from below to above. It's the wrong way. So, the Bible. How do I know the Bible is reliable? How do I know the Bible authors are competent and have characters? Well, there are a lot of facts there. I will not go through all of this with you today, but if you have an interest, you can have this file and have that. So there are unique ways the Bible was copied and passed down to us for years and years. There are some unique, they use some unique materials. They use a unique method. They want to guarantee the accuracy. So this is one area you don't want to hate the Pharisees and the scribes, okay? In the Bible, there are a lot of criticism, upon them. I'll tell you, that's just a few number of them. Not all the Pharisees and not all the scribes. You know, remember, Paul was a scribe. Remember, Ezra was a scribe. Okay? And a lot of the other Pharisees and the scribes were good ones. And people commended them. God commended them. So don't criticize them too much. And even they did a great job preserving Bible and passing on to us. They did a great job. And when they copied Bible and they have all the things, the very meticulous things that they did to make sure the Bible is reliable. The Bible that you and I read today is this, almost the same as like 3,000 years ago, the Old Testament, and 2,000 years ago, the New Testament. So, this is the way they copied and they passed down. So you have the full confidence on that. If you don't, you can compare those documents with other documents that you think you do. What about some other things, like Plato, like Aristotle, like even Shakespeare or Confucius? You think those historical documents are reliable? I will tell you, the Bible, the New Testament, are like 100,000 times, like a billion times more accurate than they are. So if you discern those, you have two major areas that you want to pay attention. Number one is the year between, is the time between the history and the date written. For example, today we are celebrating Easter today. It happened today. And then what if we go home and write our diary, write a journal about today. So the time between the facts and the date written is just one day. It's within the same day, right? It's more accurate. It's more accurate than I would say, well, let's write a journal about last year. Okay, what happened last year, Eastern? Do you remember? Well, we probably celebrated a Good Friday, and maybe Dan preached. Oh, did he preach last Sunday and last year? No, I don't know. If you ask Anita, she would have another question, and if you not ask Caroline, she would probably have a different answer, right? So what happened last year? We don't know. We don't know for sure. But what if you write it down today? This is what it means here, okay? So the history happened, and then it was written within just a few decades there. And then the earliest copy was preserved within only, how many? 25 years. And they are still here on the earth, in the maybe in the museum of Britain, the UK, and we have over 25,000 copies over the world in different museums, different organizations. You can go there and take a look. But look at how many they have. I mean, those are probably the documents you think they are pretty reliable. I'll tell you, Bible is much more reliable than they are. And other many things that the prophecies were fulfilled. And people will say, this is a coincidence. Okay, too many coincidences that you don't even want to believe your own assumption. And sometimes people will say contrived, that is by a man's manipulate. Well, how can you manipulate some people was going to be born in Bethlehem? How can you manipulate some people would take a spirit and pierce Jesus? How can you manipulate the two other criminals with their and together crucified with him. How can you? I mean, there are a lot of things that you could not manipulate theoretically. Some things were even before his birth. Some things were even after his death. How can people control? So, that is, if God controls, and then we know this is for sure. All right, those are some examples. There are like over 300 examples, but I'm just giving you some a glimpse of that. It's just the first part of Isaiah. It's just some of them. But there are much, much more in the Bible. So we have, this is the way we want to believe. Not from our common senses to prove, but use our common senses to perceive what has been revealed to us. Okay. And God has been revealing himself to us in two categories. One is general revelation, like the creature, like our common senses, like our inner beings, the sense of loving and compassion and that kind of thing. And the second category is through the special revelation. Special revelation is only given to those people who will believe in Jesus. And the special revelation is based on some people's acceptance of general revelation. Because the Bible says, especially in Romans 1, it says, those people want to press the truth, press the general revelation in their hearts so that they will not believe what's after. So for us, if we do not press our general revelation, and we will continue to receive the special revelation, which comes through the written word and the living word. The living word is Jesus Christ. So, back to the scriptures that we have read today, according to the Bible, which is much more reliable than any other document. It says that the tomb was empty. And the women visited the tomb, and they found it empty. And even before they entered the tomb, angels came to roll over the stone so that they could enter. And then they found it empty, and they went back to tell Peter and John, who consequently came and also found the tomb is empty. And not only that, well, you have many other theories to explain why the tomb was empty. And you have other theories like a swoon theory, like Jesus did not die; he was only fainted, or something like this. Or the other theory, like some people stole his body. It was even recorded in the Bible, and some people said that. Those are the wrong theories. But people who did not want to believe Jesus has risen wanted to use those theories. But use your common sense to perceive, to discern which theory is good. And then, not only the empty tomb, but also the resurrection appearance to so many people in so many times, in so many different locations. And also, so many people saw him ascending back to him. So here's the question. We have so many evidences. It's not like we're using this as a proof to prove God exists, to prove Jesus was buried and rose. There's no way for us to prove. Just like there's no way to prove Jean and I are their parents. There's no way. It's only one way for us to believe anything. Think about that. Almost everything in our life, we believe first. And then we see. And then, for example, you take your food. Did you test that food is not poisonous? You sit on the chair. Did you prove that the chair is holdable? Is holding you? Think of everything, almost everything in our life. You probably haven't thought about that. You can start thinking today. Almost everything in our life, it takes faith. Sometimes it doesn't matter how great or how little that faith is. Sometimes what matters the most is what's the object of your faith. You're putting faith in God, or you're putting faith in the government, or you're putting faith in yourself, or you're putting faith in other things. Now, what, I don't have time to go in this, but this is another example to say, even do science, scientists take faith first. In two ways. One way, they have axioms, which cannot be proven. The other way, they believe science has orderness so that they could discover and do research. Otherwise, what's the point of research? If you don't think there's the orderness, if you don't think there's a result for research, why do you even bother to start research? So this is the two general ways of faith. Number one, they put axiom there. There's no way you can prove any of them. This is why they called axiom. And by the way, Euclid the Elements is the second popular book in the world. It's the secondly most translated and circulated and read and that. Okay, good question and good answer. Thank you. All right. So, now it comes to our axioma from Bible. The Bible tells us what to do. The Bible tells us we are saved because the penalty for sin was paid by Jesus. We are sanctified because Jesus' resurrection defeats the power of sin. We will be glorified because even the presence of the sin will be taken away. So, what can we do from there? If we were not able to live out the power of the resurrection, if we had so many different wrong theories that we probably thought other things could do us better than God does to us, if we think that maybe games or relationship or peer pressure will bring us more glory, will bring us more satisfaction, if we believe that, if we believe money, if we believe fame will give us more satisfaction, we need to repent of that because we haven't lived out the power of a resurrection, which tells us only God is reliable, only God is worthy us worshiping and putting our faith on Him. Okay, so we look forward opportunities to rejoice over the removal of the sin of penalty because of what Jesus did, and reconcile with God and people around us to overcome the power of sin and Satan. Because the power of God is always greater than the power of sin. And that's the way how we are sanctified. And also rely on God's presence, letting Him cleanse us. And with His presence, then it's gone, the presence of sin. So this is what we take away from the resurrection. I hope that working out of the sanctuary, you could also work out of your way of trying to prove God or trying to prove anything before you believe. I mean, we have all the senses, all reliability to believe that God existed, to believe that Jesus died for you and me, and He was buried, and He is risen, and He lives today. So let us try to rejoice over that fact and live out by renying Him more. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You. It's not our way from below to above in trying to prove You or disapprove You. It is Your way, revealing from above to below so that we can perceive You. We can take that, the faith, take the faith of a step to get to know You and rely on You. We thank You for giving us the opportunity to know that Your Son is indeed risen and is still living in our heart, and His power could help us overcome the power of sin, the power of this worldly matters. Please continue to sustain us, continue to give us more faith to believe on You and follow You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.